speaking on aspiring our urban youth for success. Well, here I have Mr. Marlon Chambers, who is a local juvenile courts staff member. And again, like I said, I'll just be looking to know more and hear more from you on some of the things that you're doing to mentor and coach our urban youth in the community.
So so for me, I've been a juvenile justice professional for 20 years.
We're kind of talking about some of the things that you were doing out in the community with the youth.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, I have been doing this for about 20 years, and I worked in various capacities, starting out and working in juvenile justice detention. And so that had led me into juvenile justice probation as well. And also I had done some alternative to detention type programming. And so the last 3 years, I have been a part of a local court mentor program. So basically what we try to do is basically match adults in our community with youth who could use the support, advice, and just the camaraderie of having a hopefully healthy adult relationship to kind of just guide them through the process of being in our juvenile justice system and whatever services that they are expected to be a part of, that adult is really just kind of be there to just really kind of support them through that process and hopefully influence them in a positive way where they may see life in a different way and have different perspectives about some of their choices and as it relates to peer relationships and just decision making. And so, yes.
So, yeah. So I know you mentioned that you've been doing this for like 20 or so years. So has it kind of always been something that you've wanted to do? You've always been inspired by, you know, trying to go do more to, you know, give these young urban youth, I would say, a better outlook?
Well, I would say one of the things that motivates me over this time to continually do what I do is that I can't help but to think about times in my life where I could have used some other alternative adult in my life. I had both my parents in my life, but there were times where I could have benefited from having more of a, I guess, kind of a concentrated village, so to speak. And so that's one of those things that probably motivates me more than anything of working to take the opportunities they present to be in the life of one of these youth, someone that I wish I may have had in my life at different moments in my life that were challenging and very, you know, difficult moments, so to speak. So that's one of me motivated is just being what I wish to have in my life when I was an adolescent.
Wow, that's awesome. So also we're talking about, again, like I say, this youth, and we hear, like I said, all the different things that we hear in the news consistently where we have our youth are, you know, are not on the right track. So definitely leaders like yourself are, you know, is very much needed in our communities. So what are some of the things that maybe some things you're already working on that you kind of have a vision for, you know, for in the future on some additional, you know, maybe efforts or things that you're maybe becoming a part of?
I'd probably say one of the things that I found myself being a part of is recently I had been asked to be a part of a youth advisory group. And the group primarily focuses on supporting youth to be more aware of positive community engagement making changes through awareness, understanding how policies can impact systems and services. And so I've been recently approached to be a part of an advisory committee to just really just kind of give guidance and the direction that they're going to be able to empower youth to be more positively engaged with the community. So I always think that's really critical that we are inclusive of our youth, because I believe that not only are they are integral part of the future ahead, but I think it's really important that we equip them with know-how. And it's good to have a lot of information, but practical experience goes a long way. So that's one of the initiatives that I've been a part of recently, to just be a part of empowering youth to be positively engaged in their community. And so I'm looking forward to what that will bring.
That's awesome. So, and since I've been doing this research, I've heard it echo over and over about how we need to get the youth involved in some of the decisions that are being made that's going to affect them. And so about that council or program that you're going to be supporting about, you know, helping them understand the policies and things, I think that's super important, because as policies change, you know, that's something I don't think that a lot of our youth are even thinking about, you know, about policies and such like that. So that's an awesome effort that's being initiated there. So that's great.
Definitely.
So as a mentor, you know, to our urban youth who, you know, I'm sure whether you're involved, you know, hear about it often, that them being surrounded by violence, you know, things such as drugs and oftentimes family dysfunction. I know you probably even hear about it, or again, working around the juvenile court system, how, you know, you see a lot of tragedy or hear about it. And how do you manage to, you know, stay positive and want to continue your mission to support these urban youth?
Well, Renee, that's a good question, because I am often aware of the different challenges, issues that youth face in our community. So one of the ways that I try to bring perspective for myself is that I'm often reminded that right, it's my life or the life of the youth that I work with, that now is not forever. Some of the things that we may experience or go through or challenges that we face are oftentimes just for the moment. And there are lessons that we must learn. There are experiences that we must take away. And when I look at youth, I look at them as they are going through life experiences, and they are on a life journey themselves. And that journey doesn't always come with a manual that tells us what's right, what's wrong, which direction to go in. And so I know that if you live long enough, you're going to have some growing experiences, and with those growing experiences become some growing pains and lessons that we have to learn. So I just believe that in my position and in my role, that it's important for me to keep that perspective, because it allows me to have patience. It allows me to handle each experience or case with care and understanding. And so I'm also a father myself, and a parent myself. And I've seen, you know, children go through different stages, from birth to adulthood. And I know that most of us, whether they're young or old, we're all going to need some type of support. And I can't always control what youth or family that I will be having to support or help. But I know that, you know, each family, each youth has their own challenges. And I just try to make sure that I keep that perspective that, you know, they are going to learn some lessons, and there will be natural consequences, both positive and negative. And I just try to make sure that I'm at my best and keeping that perspective of knowing that, you know, now is not forever, whether it's for myself, my own children, or someone else's. And so that really helps me stay grounded and focused.
Wow, that is awesome. So I know, as you mentioned, that patience has to be like one of your main characteristics of who you are to be able to just, you know, stay engaged with the youth, especially of today. So I would like to hear maybe about some of the success stories that have come out of the work that you're doing, or maybe some of the kids that you've seen go from maybe not on the wrong side of the track. So now maybe they have turned their lives around and are doing things in a better, more positive way.
Well, I would say what comes to mind immediately, I'm thinking about a young man that participated in one of our mentor programs. We have a group mentoring program. And when this particular youth had began the program, he was very shy, not as motivated. But what we did, we put him in a group atmosphere where we had undergraduate college students serve as mentors. Now, before that young man had participated, he had no desire about going to college. He had no ambition to think about a career. But by the time he finished that 6 to 8 week program, his parents had reported to me that he came home after that experience talking about and asking about college. He began to take initiative around the house domestically because one of the sessions that we had with this group of mentors was a cooking component. So they had to do what kind of like that Chopped show, and they had to compete under a certain amount of time, use a certain amount of ingredients. So he really took to that. And so his parent had informed me that, said, hey, not only is he talking about the possibility of going to college, which he never had before, but now he's taking initiative to want to make meals and help with cooking chores around the house.
Amazing.
And so that, to me, sticks out tremendously because, you know, I believe that exposure is critical to youth. They're not always going to take the initiative to pursue certain things or learn certain things. So as us influencers in their lives, we have to sometimes kind of push them out the nest, you know, and give them opportunities to be exposed to things that could benefit their lives. And so that's one example that I think of off the top of my head.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I think that speaks to how sometimes, you know, kids of the same age group and seeing some of their, I would say, peers doing things in a positive direction kind of also help them see themselves there. You know, because sometimes I think when we as adults, you know, we're trying to motivate them and tell them about things, and they don't really get it. Sometimes it's like, you know, they think that we're old anyway, right? So times when they have that peer engagement, or kids that are more closely in their age and can come in, and it's amazing how sometimes just that type of engagement, they do start to see themselves in a different light, right? And because I think see themselves differently when we as an adult are trying to tell them the exact same thing that they need to be doing, but somehow they seem to get the message when it's coming from those peers. So how did you guys go about kind of working to get those college students involved in supporting, you know, you guys' effort there?
Like I said, I came on board of this program with the local court about 3 years ago. So prior to my arrival, that program was already established. But what I was told is that it began out of a move to really find a place where I think it was some pre-law students that were interested in just being engaged positively with the community. And so over the years, I think up almost 10 years, this group has continually to sustain itself and coordinate recruitment efforts to get other student mentors involved. And they have just really kind of just taken the initiative to maintain it, where I come in and just really just coordinate providing the youth and providing them basic summaries over who the youth are, some of their needs and challenges they may have. But primarily, it was an ongoing effort that just kind of evolved and sustained itself through the initiative of those students that continued the program even beyond graduation and developing a succession process of undergrad students.
That's awesome. So as we know, we hear all the time in the news, I think every time we turn the news on, we all seem to hear all of the negatives about, you know, what the kids are doing and, you know, not just hearing, but I also witness it as a result of some of the outcome. So but with that stated, what are some of the misconceptions I think that society have about our, you know, our urban youth?
Wow, that's a good question. I probably would say one of the misconceptions that I've observed about our society is that our youth are not motivated. I think that's a misconception because I don't think it's so much that they are motivated, but I think that our youth today, unlike any other time before, are incredibly inundated with so many distractions, so many possibilities that could be good. But it's like, you know, if you're sitting in a candy store and you're a child and you have 50 selections and you're told, hey, you can only choose 5. And it's like, you don't know what to do. It's just like, there's so many, you can find yourself at a standstill. And I feel like that a lot of our youth are just heavily distracted by so many opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
There's not just where, you know, 20 years ago, where you've had either the option of going to college, workforce, military, and that was it. I mean, the youth today, they can, you know, they've discovered that I can be successful without an education. I can, at least a college education, I can be successful and not have to go to the military. I can make money with so many different entrepreneurial opportunities, unlike before. And even our technology and social media has amplified those possibilities. And I also think, so the other part is that I think that the media influences has, I think, lessened the initiative of our youth. I think we have technology has made things more convenient, accessible, and it's lessened the work ethic to an extent, but I don't think it has lessened their motivation, but I think it's been a distraction because there's just so many options, and I think that's one of the main misconceptions that I see made by a lot of adults regarding youth. But I think, again, that's where mentoring, that's where guided principles that are shared by adults in their lives who have their best interests come into play because they just need to be positively channeled with their attention and focus. And it has to be also modeled by adults in their lives as well.
And that's so true too. Like you said, you know, we can do a lot of the mentoring and they can hear all the great things and systems. And then when they come home, you know, I think that sometimes are where, you know, the breakdowns lie in a lot of cases. So I haven't,
know, mentors like yourself out there doing positive things. Is we need so many more men like you, because I think even though, you know, again, when I think of the youth, I think of course the first thing come to mind are the male youth, right?
Yeah.
Although I know there are people that the girls or females, they also need the same type of mentors, but we see it so often when we hear all the things in the news where our young male are going astray. So thank you
for
all that you're doing to support our youth out here in the community. Look to find out more, you know, offline after our podcast, maybe another time, that, you know, some of the things that you guys are doing, and maybe there's some things that I can get involved in. My daily job, I work in cybersecurity, but again, like I say, I kind of have a passion for wanting to kind of help our youth. I don't have children of my own, but I love the kids, and so this effort to do my podcast series for my capstone came natural to me to want to be a part of this. Some of the things I've done is I, you know, go out and speak to some of our, you know, girls and stuff like that. So just kind of talk to them about the things that I do. Again, I work in cybersecurity, and when I look across the board in that career field, I don't see enough of, you know, women that look like myself. And I want to, you know, kind of help build that pipeline to bring our Black, you know, male, female youth into that career field. And I think that's a lot of things, too, but we don't have enough of that, talking to them about opportunities for, you know, different types of careers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's what got me encouraged to really do more about that. So as being a hiring manager myself, I see that the applicants just come across my desk, and none of them, you know, a lot of them, lots of times they're born to our African-American, you know, kids and stuff. So that's what some of my effort has been steered toward, and just trying to speak to our youth about them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, I really appreciate you finding time to get on with me this evening. I really appreciate that. You just don't know how much this means to me. I know we just had all the challenges in the world trying to find this stuff, but I appreciate you for actually doing that. And if there's ever something that I can do for you, or if you're out there in the community doing any engagements and you need, you know, like to have someone, female or whatever, come in. I'd love to have an opportunity to do so.
Well, I appreciate that, Renee, and it was my pleasure to be a part of this podcast and talking about how we can better be more supportive of our youth in this community. And so that's definitely an individual responsibility, and I think that comes by having platforms like this that highlight more positive perspectives on what's happening with our youth in the community, and those adults who are doing their part to support them in a positive and healthy manner.
That's absolutely correct. Again, thank you. I will, after this is all done, I'll edit our podcast, and eventually it's going to be integral live, you know, so you'll be able to also link to you, so you can actually hear my series. I actually have, at least I have three, you know, and I hope even after my class to continue this effort with doing my podcast series, so hopefully you just kind of like it. And again, this is a way that I can connect with folks, and again, hopefully, like I said, you know, eventually get our youth pulled in to also, like you said, get them involved into, maybe share some of their stories as well. So, thank you, Mr. Chambers. Yeah. And if there's anything else, again, like I can do for you, please let me know.
Well, thank you, Renee, and I'm glad you had me be a part.
Awesome. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.